Blog Talk Radio.
He was also the father of Lance Brisson, who wrote an article along with another man for Look magazine, and the article dealt with the mafia in San Francisco, and it pointed to then mayor, the late mayor Joseph Alioto, who was quite a mouth and was accused of having connections to the American mafia. Alioto sued and won and put Look magazine out of business. Look magazine was also connected to the Gray Fox, the wife of George Bush the First. Now, I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. What was I going to say? It apparently didn't hurt Lance Brisson because he went on to work for National Public Radio and then do other things. And then the other guy who wrote the was his partner in the article became an ambassador in the Reagan administration. And of course, Alioto never was able to rid himself of the accusation and the thought that people believed he was connected to the mafia. Now, it was said that. Alleged that whenever the mafia was meeting, like in upstate New York at the Appalachian, that Joseph Alioto, both lawyers, not Joseph Kennedy, but the son of Robert Kennedy, Joseph Alioto was around giving a speech at a college, and he was, in effect, the allegation goes, the lawyer for whom they came for advice. I would recommend you see the film The Godfather, and you'll understand what this role is. Now, that's an allegation, and it's never been disproved. And actually, it's never been disputed. Now, among the other events today, births today, Franz Waxman, who wrote quite a few soundtracks, a lot of European music composers, Jewish heritage, because some of these guys did not practice. Franz Waxman was born in Germany, and he came to the United States. He did Song of Bernadette and several other scores for Hollywood films. A lot of these guys, Eric Korngold came from Austria. We had the Newman family, A lot of our talent, Jerome Kern, all came from Europe in the 20s and the 30s. Now, I.F. Stone was born on this day. He did the Stone Report, and I stand for Isidore, and F stand for Feinstein. I don't think he was related to the former mayor and now senator from California, Dianne Feinstein. Actually, she married again, and she's a Blum. Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, born on this day, and I think a lot of people who live in Egypt and are worried about what's going on in that region wish that he was still alive because he would have kept the lid on things. He was part of the Arni coup with Abdel Gamal Nasser and a guy named Naguib back in the 50s that threw out the corrupt ruler of Egypt, Farouk. Great opera singer, Teresa Stritch Randall, born on this day. The guy who was the spokesman for the Center for Disease Control on AIDS, Dr. Anthony Fauci, his birthday. Mike Curb, who had the Curb Congregation, Southern California, a squeaky clean music group. I think he later became a lieutenant governor in, I think, the Reagan administration, or the Duke Nation. Among the deaths today, one of the greatest explorers in world history, Vasco da Gama, died in 1524. He's from Portugal. Mary, one of the English princesses, died in 1660. William M. Stanton, the Secretary of War, now M. Stanton stood for McMaster. It'll be interesting to see his portrayal in the latest film on Lincoln. W. M. Thackeray, the great writer, died today. 1942, Admiral Jean Darlan, who was commander of the French Navy, which had escaped from the Toulon, which was the French Navy's home port, major ports like their Pearl Harbor, in a manner of speaking. He was assassinated. He was playing the field, didn't know whether he was going to side with Charles de Gaulle, who was with the Free French, or with the Vichy government of Marshal Pétain. He was assassinated in 1942 in Algiers. 1972, Charles Atlas died. He anglicized his name. His real name was Angelo Siciliano. So Charles Atlas was A.S. Angelo Siciliano, with all those muscles. Another great composer who wrote for CBS and conducted their orchestras, and he did films for Orson Welles, he did the music scores, Bernard Herrmann. The guy who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale, died on this day, and one of the great Japanese actors who was in Bridge on the River Kwai and Shogun, Tsushima Mifune, died today. Among the events today, Thomas Wolsey, who later became a cardinal, became Lord Chancellor of England. He was later deposed by Henry VIII. There's quite a few depictions of him. One is in Thomas More, Man for All Seasons, where Orson Welles played Wolsey, who was perverted and corrupt. I don't know how he became a cardinal. And also the latest one with the Tudors. On this day in 1818, Silent Night, a Catholic monk in Austria, composed it, and it was sung on Christmas Day in 1818. In 1832, in Savannah, Georgia, the first Negro or black hospital was set up by whites. On 1870, after a year after the Suez Canal was completed and opened, work was commissioned by the Egyptians to celebrate the opening of the Suez Canal, or celebrate it. And the commission was given to Giuseppe Verdi, and a year later produced the great and most popular of his operas, Aida, about the Ethiopian princes. In 1889, two guys, Storer and Hans, patented the bicycle brake. Now, one of the policy questions we are raising, should bicycles, it's an untapped source of revenue. These people who own and ride these bikes and who push this bicycle agenda are the other 1% or 1+% that's not talked about, but which has profited by all this federal money that's gone into building bike lanes, all the special services. Yet these people have a lot of disposable income. I call them the latte leisure class for expensive coffees, meals at fancy restaurants, the latest devices for internet and all that communication. Yet they pay no tax, no licensing fees, and when they, if they have contact with a car or injure human beings, or it's the American taxpayer who pays for the ambulance, the police, and to clean up the mess that they have created. Excuse me. So it's time to hold these bicycles owners accountable. And there are rules of the road, and a lot of a growing number of angry automobile owners who have to pay high licensing fees and insurance, and to subsidize this latte leisure class, think it's time that these people observe the rule. If you put your wheels on the road, you observe the rules of the road. We'll continue with this. And also, there'll be more on this bicycle agenda. It actually probably started in Nazi Germany. I don't know what that noise is. I'm sorry today. Among the other things that happened on this day, believe it or not, Germany, which was a colonial power prior to World War I in Southwest Africa, they abolished child slavery. 1906, great radio pioneer Ronald Fessenden was the first person to broadcast music over radio, and he did it in Massachusetts. 1936, the first radioisotope medicine was administered in Berkeley, California. We have some of the best hospitals out here in California. Excuse me. I'm just getting over this cold. Among the other events today, the first ships that escaped detection after they bombed Pearl Harbor, or the aircraft carriers, Admiral Nagumo's fleet evaded the American pursuers who were searching for them as they arrived back in Japan. In 1943, FDR appointed Eisenhower commander of Allied forces in Europe. And in 1946, the Fourth Republic of France was set up, and de Gaulle was a leader for a while, but he just got disgusted with all of the politics and infighting. He'd had enough. But he did come back in 1958 to end the Algerian War and the war in Indochina, French Indochina. 1946, a controversial General McNerney gave amnesty to 800,000 so-called minor Nazis. I don't know what a minor Nazi is. Oh, excuse me. So, now, among the public policy issues that we are trying to address, should classroom teachers and other school personnel be armed? The teachers and principals have enough problems with the schools and increasing diminished funding, and all these various groups coming in, from the pedophile groups to the other groups which are trying to stop children from singing Christmas carols or reciting the Constitution. So they have enough administrative problems just trying to keep the schools and the kids together. So for them to be armed, I don't think is a good idea. Now, this just happened in a New York suburban newspaper. I think it's called The Journal. And the public policy question is, should a newspaper or any media outlet publish the names and home addresses of citizens who own guns? This is what happened in the local suburban New York newspaper, which just published the names and the addresses of local gun owners. Now, the origin of school shooting violence goes back to the 70s here in California, when Dr. Marcus Foster was the first black superintendent of the Oakland School District, Oakland, California. He was assassinated by the SLA, the Symbionese Liberation Front. He was considered a Tom, and it was just a horrible assassination. This assassination, SLA people, also has a connection to San Francisco and to the neighborhood where one of the jurors in the Steve Neri kangaroo court case lived, this Iranian lesbian who serviced in the gay marriage spectacle here in San Francisco, was also connected to our Livermore lab. And the question is, should an Iranian lesbian be connected to our nuclear program? It's a national security issue. We're bringing this up. that she also was involved in rigging this case against the U.S. Navy Staley that's cost the American taxpayer over $15 million. I don't know what that sound is. Now, another question, if you've ever shopped and you're on lunch hour or you've got a time schedule to meet and you have these people using their cell phones, blocking the aisles, not paying attention to where they're walking, should business establishments post signs asking customers who use cell phones not to block and impede other customers who are trying to shop, especially when these non-cell phone users are on their lunch or limited time? People just don't have time to be trying to avoid and evade bumping into or circumventing these people on their damn cell phones. So I think it's time that businesses take a step and establish some kind of order in their businesses if they, you know, we want people to continue to shop there. Excuse me. Now, this is interesting. In our upcoming, we'll probably have this in January, we encountered, in our interviews on the California prison system, we encountered I don't know what that sound is, a young man who lived in Chicago, north side of Chicago, and we just did the interview, that he was propositioned by John Gacy, the Illinois sexual predator, killed about 33 boys, lured them into his car, and then tortured and murdered them and buried them under his house in Chicago, in the Chicago suburb. Anyway, this kid was about 14 years old, and Gacy offered him a ride, and he said no. It was something about the car that frightened him, and he just left. And Gacy didn't end up in the grip of Gacy's sexual predator attitude and actions. Excuse me. Now, another thing has just come up. One of the issues in the American prison system is that the prisoners, the inmates, are not even paid coolie wages. We have another interview on what goes on with this money that the inmates make. If they are required to pay restitution, over half of their money, any money they get, I don't know what this is, I'm sorry, people, half the money goes to the restitution fund plus overhead costs. So when a guy's making like as much as 7 cents an hour or 90 cents an hour, you know, half of that money goes to the restitution source. The other thing that's come up is there is a prison in the world which pays $50 a week to its inmates. I guess they have to behave and earn that kind of money. So, so I think this is something that we need to look at here in America, that we might reduce some of the violence and tension in our prisons if we were to pay people more money to do the work that they do besides license plates and cutting out clothes and all that sort of things. The prison labor issue is something that needs to be looked into and further examined. Since Senator Inouye died on this week, and interesting character, he was also quite a pork barrel operator in the U.S. Senate, and his attitude was he wanted to get as much of the pork for his constituents in Hawaii that he could. Maybe was making up for the way that Japanese Nisei, which is the second or third generation Japanese heritage in America. Anyway, he died, but he made an interesting speech on the 442nd, the most decorated unit in U.S. Army, and here he is.
Consider the fact that I'm 18, so your emotions are that of a young person. I was angered to realize that my government felt that I was disloyal and part of the enemy. And I wanted to be able to demonstrate, not only to my government, but to my neighbors, that I was a good American.
After Pearl Harbor, Washington had ordered some 110,000 Japanese aliens and American citizens of Japanese descent living along the West Coast out of their homes and into 10 internment camps. all Japanese-American men of draft age, except those already in the armed forces, had been classified as enemy aliens, forbidden to serve their country. Then, in early 1943, Washington announced a new policy. Japanese-American men were now going to be permitted to form a special segregated outfit, the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. When the Army called for 1,500 volunteers from Hawaii, where Japanese-Americans had never been locked up, 10,000 turned up at recruiting offices, including a freshman in pre-medical studies at the University of Hawaii, Daniel Inouye.
And my father took time off, and we got on the streetcar, and he was very silent until we got close to the point of departure. He cleared his throat, and I knew something was coming. He's not a scholarly person, but I know he struggled. And he said, "This country has been good to us. It has given me two jobs. It has given you and your brothers and your sister education. We owe a lot to this country. Do not dishonor this country. Above all, do not dishonor the family. And if you must die, die in honor." You know, I'm 18 years old, and here he is telling me these heavy words. And I've always thought to myself, would I be able to say the same thing to my son?
I think that they may not really have known it themselves, but I think this feeling was instilled in them through all of our parents. It's called Yamato Damashi, and it's this, it's like a proving of yourself, and that your loyalty goes beyond just saying it or talking it, you know, it's proving it, giving it your all, even if you die in the process by going to war. And I think that's so strongly instilled from when you're very young that I think that that was one of the things that pushed them on.
Well, that was the end of that interview, and we can't find Ike, so we'll probably have Ike on Wednesday. I don't know what happened. And I'm down with this cold. So we'll be back Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and we're getting ready for our big new revamping of the program with a lot of new interviews, and hopefully we'll try to do some live stuff. We haven't done that for a while, and we'll have things that you're not going to hear on NPR or any of the other, other media that, you know, they get a lot of publicity. They do a lot of this stuff themselves, pushing their own agenda and, you know, patting themselves on the back and all that sort of thing. But we give you stuff that you're not going to hear anybody else because we made an effort to find these things. Anyway, excuse me, we're going to end tonight with our usual politics and poker. My throat's going, and we'll be back Wednesday.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where's the call up?
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say. Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, playing for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average
Christmas, season's greetings, and stay safe, and sip, don't swell, don't get drive drunk. It's Peter Paul Brazola, good night.